verses 13 through 20. That's on page 231 of the New Testament. Are any of among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. A prayer from faith will heal. We've talked about prayer often, and you have to think about the different ways that other people think about prayer. Prayer is a word, but it illustrates, or in our mind's eye, there's a vision that comes to us when someone mentions prayer. When I was growing up, and the first memory I have of Sunday school in this little church in Leeds, South Dakota, and you had to walk around and down in a basement, and the room had all kinds of posters up of King David and Daniel in the lion's den and a number of images. And one of the images that just strikes home so vividly, and it's been in the stained glass windows of a number of churches, and matter of fact, it was the chapel at Staleytown, and that's the image of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying. Now, he didn't have a wish list. He didn't have a prioritized, okay, I want X, Y, and Z. It wasn't a shopping list that you might prepare before you go to the supermarket. It wasn't a list of things that you want when you're growing up and it's getting around Christmas time and, you know, you make up your list of things and you write in your letter and you send it off to Santa Claus. No. But from that earliest time, my image of prayer has been guided by that. I don't think I've even told you this. But as a little child, we would get together, and Mrs. Hirschhorn, she was my first grade teacher. She was also my Sunday school teacher. So I didn't get away with much, inside or out. That's another story. But we would get together, and we'd have a little snack, but before we had the snack, we would pray. And she would tell us to just sit in our chairs. We didn't have an altar rail in the Sunday school classroom. But she said, just bow your heads and put your hands together and pray. And she taught us the Lord's Prayer. But the simplest piece is the image in my mind when I was praying. It was the simplest thing because, you know, in that youth, in that childhood, in that infantile way, I, as well as the rest of the kids in that class, were talking to God. There was nobody in between us. There was just us and God. Now, certainly Mrs. Hirschhorn was watching over us, but God was there with us in that presence. That's how we're supposed to pray. Not as a 911, hey, Lord, save me because I've gotten into trouble. He already knows the trouble you're in. He is already, in Isaiah 65, verse 24, he is already moving to answer the prayers before you finish speaking them. But we're to pray in faith. Now, that's an anticipation and an expectation that what we pray for is going to be delivered. Now, it may not be what we want, but it will be what we need. As I said last week, God answers prayers, yes, no, and sometimes, wait, not yet. So when we have this image of prayer and how we're supposed to pray, James, continuing here, this is how we're supposed to live. This is what we're supposed to do. James is finishing up this letter, and he says, are any among you suffering? Now, he doesn't say what they're suffering from, illness or persecution or mental or physical or spiritual. He says, are any of you suffering? Well, what are they supposed to do? They should pray. They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. If this, then that. If you're suffering, pray. If you're cheerful, sing praises. Psalm 100, raise a joyful noise unto the Lord. A little closer walk with thee. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Are any among you sick? Call on the elders of the church. Have them pray over them, anointing them with the oil in the name of the Lord. Now, there's a rationale and a reason for this, and it was why James spoke this in this way. Anointing them with oil in the name of Jesus Christ, so that when the healing occurs, people realize that it was in the name of Jesus Christ, that anointing of oil and in the name of Jesus Christ, and the prayers were not some ritual incantation, not some magical combination of this oil and the power of a magician or a wizard or a vizier or someone of extra knowledge. But when we come together, when we as a body know that there is someone who is afflicted or is ill, then we are to pray for them. Pray with them. Anoint them with oil in the name of God, in the name of the Lord. That's how we're supposed to do it. And who gets credit for it? God does. Not you and not me. The Jewish custom was to pray with faith. And the prayer with faith is connected to healing. That was the Jewish tradition and the Jewish understanding. But we look at verse 15 and it says, the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Now, goodness gracious, there are different types of sickness. There's a physical sickness. There's an emotional sickness. There's a spiritual sickness. And prayer solves all of them. Now, that's not to say that, you know, we pray and it's fixed and it goes away and we're not in travail or trouble any longer. Anybody here have examples where It just disappeared. How many of you, you still have the troubles, you still have the trials, you still have the travail, but it's not the same. You've given it to the Lord, now you do what you can do. And the Lord will answer the prayer. Whether it's a tumor, whether it's a surgery, whether it's a cancer, it's who knows what. Betty Morris, COPD. Last year when Terry and I got here, people said that Betty Morris was on hospice care, and Eric had said she may not be with us very long. She's still ticking. Don't tell me prayer's not answered. God alone knows how he's going to answer it. 15 says the prayer of faith will save the sick. 16 tells us something else we're supposed to do. As we pray, we start that conversation with God. And you know what? When we come to God, we come as open books. If you've read the newsletter yet, we come as open books, whether we're kneeling at the rail, sitting in that little first grade Sunday school classroom as a little boy who, oh, I'd done a lot of horrible things by the time I was 4 or 5. I mean, there were broken windows, there were broken toys, there were all kinds of flowers that my mom had that weren't quite as nice as they had been before I got to them. But as a little boy, and in that conversation with God, that prayer, how does that start? 16, therefore confess your sins to one another, so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. You know, I wasn't some perfect little kid. I don't think I've ever been perfect. There's a lot of perfection in that. But you confess your sin with one another. You share that I'm not perfect, you're not perfect. You know what? We're in life. We're in this world together. None of us is perfect. Oh, high and mighty, mightier than thou, better than thou. We have all sinned and fallen short of the grace of God. But I'll tell you what, when we confess our sin, I want you to write this down in your bulletin and take it home with you today, because I want you to look at this verse. It's Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And it has to do with confessing with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believing in faith that he is your Savior. How's it begin? Confess with your lips. Believe in your hearts. It starts with an action that we participate in. It's an action that we intellectually cause ourselves to do. It's not a snap of the fingers. It's not a hocus pocus, Lord, get me out of here. So, Lord, forgive me, for I've sinned. That book that Mom, that piece of music that Mom liked to play, all those crayon and pen markings in that, I did that. Mom asked me who did it. I know she knew I did it. But I lied. No, Mom, I didn't do that. Oh. Mom, she's so smart. Oh, Lord. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. That's not self-righteous. The power of the righteous is the power of the prayer of those who are in a right relationship with God. Those that have been made right wise with God. They're not righteous because of their anything that they've done or any good things that they've done or the fact that they've got more good things in their favor than the bad things. It's not like we get, Lord, I've got 75 in the debit credit and 105 on the other side, so I'm good, right? It's the wrong way. The debits are, anyway. But it's on this scale, it's whether or not I've done good deeds. It's whether or not, it's back to that Romans 10, verse 9. If I confess with my lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart. Now, out of that, I should demonstrate activities that are positive, that are uplifting, that are just a close walk with thee. Oh, hallelujah. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Now, the rest of the verses here, 18 through 20, actually, 17 is pretty interesting because it talks about Elijah. Elijah. We know that Enoch and Elijah are pretty much the only two people in the Bible who never die. Enoch walked with God and was not. Didn't say how many good things he did. It just says he walked with God and was not. And Elijah, we know, was taken up into heaven by a fiery chariot. And his protege, Elijah, was left down there. But we know those two, Elijah and Enoch, didn't die. But Elijah was a human being like us. And he prayed. Matter of fact, he prayed and someone was restored to life. He prayed, as it says here, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it didn't rain on the earth. Then he prayed again and the heaven gave rain and earth yielded its harvest. Now, was it really 3 times 365 days and then 180 some odd days? Scripture says it. I have no reason to doubt it. Is it a vehicle where, you know, 3.5 is half of 7, 7 is a perfect time? People can argue that back and forth, but what you can't argue, what's indisputable, is Elijah prayed that it not rain, and it didn't for a long period of time, an unusually long period of time. And then he prays, and it rains again. So there's something to being a prayerful person and a right relationship with God. My brothers and sisters, if any among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. What does the scripture tell us? We are our brother's keeper. In response to that query, am I my brother's keeper? Am I responsible for... I can't change what that person does, but I can pray for them. I can be there and support and help them, not to enable. And there's a huge difference there. And each of the circumstances you have to prayerfully consider, is it enabling or is it assisting? But we're called to pray and to be there to provide a positive example so that what we say and do can affect them. What we say and do can bring them back into a right relationship with God, can pull them back into a right relationship with God. How many grandparents in here? How many kids you got? So many. Blessings, each and every one. You're responsible. You're accountable. You have this huge blessing and opportunity to be a positive example, not just in, you know, in the worldly things, but in the spiritual things. Mrs. Hirschkorn left on me a lasting image. Now, I spent more time with her in the first grade class than I did that first year in Sunday school, hour for hour. But you know what? One of the most precious images and memories I have of Mrs. Hirschkorn is in that little Sunday school classroom together with some other holy terrors praying the Lord's Prayer. No, I'm not saying that Mrs. Hirschkorn saved me. But boy, she sure had a hand in it, in more than one way. Oh, goodness. But the point is, Are you in a right relationship with God? And if you're in a right relationship with God, then you can pray with faith. And that prayer with faith will heal. Now get this right. A faithful, righteous prayer will heal. Not just can heal. Will heal. Say it. Believe it. Live it. Say it. Confess it. Believe it in your heart. Live it so that others see it. Shalom and peace.